Good morning and welcome to Taz Turf Talk and Harness Edge, your radio guide to this week's thoroughbred and harness racing in Tasmania.
Colin McNiff with you and a very good morning, and Greg Mansfield also joins us. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Colin. Yes, good morning to you and good morning to all the mothers listening to us, hopefully on Mother's Day, although I hope they're getting breakfast in bed if they are listening to the radio this hour of the day.
Yes, indeed. A very happy Mother's Day to all the mums, and hopefully we'll find some winners that will make it even a more enjoyable Mother's Day. There's been plenty happening. We're racing in Hobart today on a slow six track with an eight event program. Harness Racing swings to Launceston tonight, and we also have Harness Racing tomorrow night in Hobart. We had a meeting through the week at Devonport on the Topeda track, Greg, and again, apprentice jockeys dominated, winning six out of the eight races, and that's been a bit of a trend in recent times.
This last time I looked, Colin, was a couple of meetings ago, and they were striking at 66%. Two-thirds of all the races run in Tasmania since the end of the carnival in February have been won by apprentices, and obviously six out of eight, that's improved that a little bit. So, they're on fire. And just before we look at the local races, I've got to mention a couple of results in Adelaide yesterday, because in the Goodwood Handicap, the Group 1, we didn't win it, but the third place girl in that, a horse called Rises, which went round at long odds, is part owned in Tasmania by Morris and Jenny Mace of Launceston. They've got squillion horses in training here and interstate as well, and having a lot of success, so well done to Morris and Jenny. Would have been nice to win a Group 1, but running third's not a bad result. And the last winner in Adelaide yesterday, a horse called Miss Steele, trained by Michael Kent, was pre-trained in Tasmania, I believe, by Simon and Jody Snell, so they'd take a little bit of satisfaction out of that as well. That was a Group 3 race.
Yeah, Simon and Jody doing that a little bit at the moment, aren't they? Pre-training a few horses for some interstate trainers?
I think they've got a couple of particular owners that send them over here, and I believe this is one of them, the owner of Miss Steele, and she's been a pretty handy filly, and as I said, she got a Group 3 win, so that'd be a very satisfying result for the Snells.
Would have been handy to snare the Quadratta in Adelaide yesterday. Paid $135,000, I think it was.
Yeah, 10% would have been reasonable.
It would have made a nice Mother's Day.
It would have done, wouldn't it?
We've got the National Jockeys Day in Hobart here today, and we'll be having a minute's silence prior to the running of race number four. Of course, we've also got a big luncheon on at the races today with Pete Staples will be hosting it. Peter Hutchinson will be down as a guest speaker, and also Terry McAllister will be having a chat as well. And of course, down here, we all know Terry so well, who suffered that horrible fall and has been a quadriplegic ever since.
Yeah, 10 years ago now. Unfortunately, he was in a trial too, which probably makes it even worse than when it happens in a race. But I do notice on Facebook that Terry's participating in the riding for the disabled now, so at least it's good to see him back in action to some extent. And, of course, Peter Hutchison's career, after he made a comeback, ended up being curtailed by injury as well, so it'll be interesting to listen to both those gentlemen.
Yeah, it should be a good day, so looking forward to that, and I'm sure a big crowd will get along for that lunch in Hobart today. At the moment, the weather, well, it's a little overcast, but it looks like being OK. It's a slow six with the rail in the true position here today. The early scratchings go to race six, take out numbers 2, 6, 7, Nilufar, Great Delight and Moonrise. Race 7, scratch number 9, Lazy Democracy. And race 8, scratch number 1, Hell of a Street. They are the early scratchings, probably a few more to come through in the next 10 minutes or so. I noticed, Greg, that most of those scratchings are from the Brunton camp.
Four of the last five are. And I did hear it mentioned during the week, I haven't had it confirmed yet, that Hell of a Street probably come out of the last race because he may be going to have a run interstate. So if you are listening and following interstate races, keep an eye out for him because he's a very smart horse.
All right, we kick off at 12.06 today. The first event is the Maiden Class 1. It's over the 1,600 metres and we have 10 to run.
Even lineup. I went for number 2, Decent Deal here from the John Blacker stable. This was a pretty big tip first up in Tasmania, back in Launceston in the middle of April. It ran favourite. There was a ring of confidence about it. It was in a 16-20 metre maiden. It just couldn't quite get warmed up early enough in that race. It was doing reasonable work late, finished 4th of 11, and then went to Hobart at its next run. Again started equal favourite. Raced a bit closer this time, but it just didn't look like it handled the heavy track. So hopefully we will get a little bit better going today, and we might be able to see the real deal. Decent Deal, number 2 on top. Number 9, Victory Medal. who led when second to Genuine Lad in Launceston last week. That was over 1,400. The little step up in distance won't worry this horse because it did run fifth in the Hobart Guineas over 2,100 metres in January. I think it's a genuine chance, number nine. One Dartel's got enough ability to figure here. 1,400 metres last time, too short. We'll find the 16 more suitable. And number four, Don't Give Me Lip, a horse that you tipped last week. I thought was doing good work again at the finish of 1,400. Its Victorian form suggests the 1,600 metres will suit better, so it could be an improver. 2, 9, 1, and 4 for me.
Yeah, look, I've got to stick with Don't Give Me Lip after that performance last week. It was up handy at the 400 metre mark. It was in a race won by Genuine Lad, who's a good time victory medal. I think that form line will be okay to come out of that race. There's a couple of horses running around in Hobart today that look like they might frank that form, and this could be one of them. Three runs in from a spell now, up to the 1,600 metres. He's had 15 starts without winning, only one placing. This former Victorian, Michael Guthrie, has the ride, the comeback jockey. So nice to see Mick get into the winner's circle very soon. He's been fairly close with just a handful of rides so far. I thought number five, Master Alfred, would be a danger, working its way up toward a win. Again, it's had plenty of chances, 22 runs for just the five placings, but one of those placings being last time out over 2,100 metres behind Digger's Dame in Launceston. Six, Porto, is very consistent. It's been placed at its past couple. In fact, placed its past three runs and three out of seven, so it's working its way up toward a win. Also trained by Gary White, has a claim for Blunt Mookin. As we know, the apprentice jockey's going so well. And number one, Dartel, it may just roll along to the front here from barrier number three. Johan Kazmaz aboard, and if it does, it might take a little bit of running down. But a tough race, lots of chances in the opening event. I've marked them as 4, 5, 6, and 1. Second is a maiden plate. It's over 1,200 metres. Ismail Toka rides number 10, Foxy Mink, and number 13, Don't Tell Kayla, to be ridden by Jason Lyon.
Yes, good to see Ziggy Carr back in the state for a one-off meeting today. She's having a little break from Adelaide, where they were all non-claiming races yesterday, and she's got a ride in every race, and I think she's got a chance in this one on number one, Fringer, a recent addition to the John Luttrell stable. Went back and had a look at his Victorian form. It wasn't anything to write home about. He did run a place in a race at Donald about 9 or 10 months ago. Wasn't far away at some of his other appearances. Just thought he trialled okay recently in Hobart. He beat a couple of handy horses in that trial in Van Diemen's Fire and Nilu Far. They both go nicely. The second horse probably had a bit up his sleeve, but nonetheless, I thought it was a reasonable effort. He's drawn barrier three here, and he might go well fresh, number one. Number four, Left Ear, certainly the interesting runner again. He had his first start after a 3.5-year layoff when he ran third last time out behind his stablemate, Great Delight. Showed plenty of pace in that race, but there was a lot of speed up front that day, and they didn't get a real lot of peace. He'll either come on from that run, or sometimes after they have a first-up effort after a long break, they just are maybe a little bit flat next time. You don't know. You rely on the bruntness to have him right. He's the danger, but he's quoted at a pretty short quote here. Number two, Game of Thrones, showed enough last time in, unplaced in a recent trial, but on its race form, it's got a show. And number 12, Tyre Kicker. It was another one that got caught up in a speed battle in that Great Delight race last start at Lead. Left Ear was up there with it, and another horse battled on pretty well to finish second, was well beaten, but she has been consistent. She's not far off winning a race for Damien Whelan, so I've put her in for fourth. I went 1, 4, 2 and 12.
Righto, 1, 4, 2 and 12 there from Greg in race number 2. I'm ticking number 10, Foxy Minx here. This has only had a handful of starts, in fact less than that, just the three runs. It ran third to Moonrise and Maker's Return. Now it was beaten 10 lengths, but Moonrise won by 8 lengths. It wasn't too far behind Maker's Return in that race a fortnight ago down here in Hobart. Prior to that was back behind Wansey, so they looked to be two strong chances before Moonrise came out in race number 6. They were both very impressive maiden winners last time, so perhaps this is a slightly easier assignment at its third run in from a spell. Foxy Minx I've got on top, should be double figure odds for mine to beat. Number two, Game of Thrones, who's been thereabouts on a few occasions. It's first up today, hoping it can sprint well. It's got the very informed Chantel Willis riding. She claims three. That'll be down to two pretty soon, I think, with the winners she's been riding in recent times. Four, Left Ear, made an impressive return to racing after a long time off. It ran third behind Great Delight, having its first up run. It hadn't raced for some 3.5 years. So if it sticks to that form, if it holds that type of form, it's going to be thereabouts. And the one that you've tipped on top, Fringer, is certainly the interesting runner in the race. And with Ziggy Carr aboard, is certainly amongst the chances. But I've gone 10, 2, 4 and 1 in the second. One of the feature events, Greg, is the Wakeful Club Autumn two-year-old classic. It's a $30,000 race. There's just the six to run, but we've got a couple of good ones in there.
Yeah, it's a nice little field, but the class runner obviously is number one, Admiral. He's had five starts for four wins. I would imagine he'll be at a pretty cramped quote here, mainly because of the fact that it's a set weight race, and of course he's won a couple of $100,000 races already, as well as a $30,000 race early in the season. So if this was a handicap, well, he'd have 60-plus, wouldn't he? And he'd be giving weight to all these, but he's just a good horse. He hasn't had a little run for a while, and he trialled impressively at Devonport not long ago. Barry Campbell rates him well and truly above all his other two-year-olds. He's won 10 of the 22-year-old races run in Tasmania so far this season, Barry. This bloke's won four, and Calavera, who's in the four, and Calavera, who's in the three. So he's having another great season. He's over the years, and there are class horses that he's won it with, including Alpha, Sedation, just to mention a couple. That was back in the 1990s, so it's had a few name changes, but it's the same race. Clearly on top, number one. I put number three, Gigi's Golden Girl, in for second. I really like the run of this filly first up for Stuart Gandy. It ran second to Calavera. Got into the wrong part of the track, I think, in the home straight, close to the rail when the going was better out wider. Got beaten a length and a quarter, but I think she might be able to turn that tables on that horse today, and I've put her in for second. Ahead of Calavera, you can't knock him. He's won three in a row. He'll run well again. He's drawn barrier two. He's certainly going to be somewhere about. And number four, Flo Joe, a bit of a tongue twister there, has had five starts, has led in all five of them, steps up to the 1,200 metres today, so that last 100 might be just a little bit of a query, but she'll give a cheek, bit of cheek, and give you a side at odds. I think this will probably be about $1.50, but one on top from three, two and four.
Yeah, look, exactly the same for me, one on top from three, two and four. I think the interesting runner, if there was to be a knockout, is the three-horse Gigi's Golden Girl. There's just a lot to like about her. She's had the four runs. She's been placed on three occasions. Her only unplaced run was sixth in the Gold Sovereign behind Admiral. She just wanted to duck in last time, and that got her down to that that inside part of the track, and she may not have won, but she certainly would have finished a little bit closer. She's from this wonderful Lakita, who is the mum of Gigi's Black Flash and a couple of others, and she's by this exciting young stallion we've got down here, Wordsmith. And I think, as good as Admiral is, I think Gigi's Golden Girl, Greg, might be a better three-year-old than Admiral come next season.
That's an interesting assessment. I did mention here last time she ran that I thought she was a future star, Gigi's Golden Girl, so I'm not going to argue with you.
Hmm. 1, 3, 2, 4, we just agree there with the selections. It looks fairly straightforward for the third event, the Autumn two-year-old classic. Another smallish field, just the six to run around in the fillies and mares open handicap, but again, a little bit of class in the fourth event over 1,200 metres at 158.
I hope the weather's not doing to you what it's doing here at the moment as we speak, Colin, because since we've started, it's started to pour, so hopefully it's not the same in the south of the state. This is a very interesting race, a $20,000 race, and of course we've got two absolute quality mares engaged here in the top two, Izzy Baeva and Aaron Zano. They ran first and second when they last met a couple of weeks ago. Aaron Zano won and won quite comfortably. Both those horses were having their first start on a heavy track that day, and they both handled okay. I'm going for number one, Izzy Baeva, to turn the tables today, and the reasons I'm doing that is the step up from 1,100 to 1,200. I think that suits her ideally. She's won six races over 1,200 metres, six of her nine career victories. Aaron Zano has won six of her seven over 1,100 metres or less. So just that little bit of an advantage at the extra distance, and there is a bit of a turnaround in the weights. Izzy Baeva, with the claim for Chantel Willis, does meet Aaron Zano 2 kilos better. Aaron Zano goes up to 60, which is a fair assignment, isn't it, even for a class mare. It's got to be carried, but I think, look, I wouldn't be surprised which way it goes, but because of those factors, I went one, Izzy Baeva, ahead of two, Aaron Zano. I think they're the only two winning chances. Clan McLeod, clearly the next best, loves the wet. If it did get a bit of rain down there, her chances would improve. She is coming back from 1,400 to 1,200. I think that's probably a little bit of a negative, but she's going very well. And Five Vision of Beauty doesn't appear to be in the same class as the top two, but could fill a minor placing. She's a very honest mare. I went one from two, just then a distance away, three and five.
Right. As I agree with just the two chances, but I'm sticking with Aaron Zana. But gee, you made a good case for Izzy Baeva. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go either way. We were doubtful as to whether Aaron Zano would handle the sting out of the ground at her most recent assignment here a fortnight ago, but she certainly put paid to that, and the class shone She is all-class Aranzano. So too, for that matter, is Izzy Bay Eva. So they'll beat the rest out of sight, you would imagine. I've gone 2 to beat 1. I put 4 in Shroud, 3 Clan McLeod. 2 to beat 1, 4 and 3. No fine conditions down here in Hobart at the present time, Greg, and the forecast is for a mostly sunny day, heading for a top of 17. So slow 6 at the present time. Couldn't see it getting any worse than that. May even be an upgrade on the cards. Who knows? My tips in race 4 are 2, 1, 4 and 3. The National Jockeys Trust Open Handicap over the 2100 metres is race number 5, and the old champ going around, GG's Black Flash, but again, he's got the grandstand.
Yeah, he's got 64 after the claim. That's a big ask, isn't it? 2100 metres, second up after a little break. This race, of course, is being used as a lead-up to the St. Ledger in Launceston in a couple of weeks' time, which is a quality handicap. So GG's Black Flash will drop to 60 in that. That's probably his race. I thought he faced a difficult task today with that weight, but I was talking to John Luttrell at Sprayton on Wednesday, and he's very confident that the horse will run well. In fact, he predicts it will win, but I've gone for number 2. Am I there yet? I think he's clearly the one to beat with the 10-kilogram pull in the weights on the old bloke. He won or dead-heated at Devonport last time out, and it was a huge effort. He was last on the home turn, came down the outside, joined Thorn Man right on the line to share the result, and Thorn Man had been flying prior to that. He's a very good stayer, Am I There Yet? That was an 1880-metre race. The 2100 metres suits him even better. He's won up to 2,400 metres. I know the Bruntons are very confident that he'll win the St. Ledger in a couple of weeks' time, and I think he'll win this race on the way today. So number 2 on top for me. Ahead of number 4, Ollie's Gold, the former Derby winner. He's been getting back to form at recent starts. He looked like he was going to be well beaten in Hobart last time out when Streetwise Savoir grabbed him on a heavy track, but he fought back gamely, was beaten a nose in the finish. GG's Black Flash was a distance away third, a couple of lengths back in third place. The extra distance, as I said, won't worry him because he's a Derby winner and he's not going to carry a lot of weight after the claim for Bullet Mooku, so he could be a danger. One GG's Black Flash, you can never leave him out. He's a great old horse. He'll run well. I don't think he'll be too far away at the finish. And number 5, Hugh Bower, was only midfield in Launceston last Sunday, but prior to that, had pretty reasonable form, including a close fourth to Am I There Yet in that race at Devonport, beaten less than a length. So he's not hopeless, number 5. But I went 2, 4, 1 and 5.
Yeah, 2 for me too. Am I There Yet? Suited by the distance, suited by the sting out of the ground, suited by the 10 kilos advantage it has over GG's Black Flash. Wonderful run by GG's Black Flash first up. But he just peaked, didn't he, at about the 200 metre mark, that first up run over 1600 metres on a heavy 10. He loomed, but the weight and the first up just told on him. He'll be thereabouts again today because he's such a champ. 2 to beat 1. 5, Yeboah. Took off before acceptances last time out in Launceston. Ran 5th behind Spot Luck. Anthony Darmanin takes the ride today. And 4, Ollie's Gold. They look to be the top 4 by far and away. 2, 1, 5 and 4 in race 5. Now, the scratchings are finalised. They are the scratchings I gave you. Race 6, numbers 2, 6, 7, Nilufar, Great Delight, Moonrise. Race 7, number 9, Lazy Democracy. And race 8, number 1, Hell of a Street. They are the final scratchings for the meeting. Speaking of those scratchings, they come up in the next race we're looking at, race number 6, 2, 6, 7, Not to Run. It's a class 1 handicap over 1,100.
I'm going to tip one here very quickly, Colin, so no one hears me. Number 8, One More Red, for the very last time. I know she's a non-winner. You risk ridicule tipping her, but I just think this is a race in which she might be hard to beat. She has been consistent. Can't knock her for that. She's earns a stake check every time she goes around. The reason I'm giving her one more chance today is that she's got a nice little claim here for Ismail Toka. She'll carry 53.5. That's clearly the lightest weight she's had at any of her recent starts, and she has drawn barrier 1, which hopefully will be an advantage, not a disadvantage, on a slow track. I just can't tip number 5, Wonsie, because I think it's a really smart filly, and it could win by 4 or 5 lengths, but these maiden winners that win by big margins, they just get beaten regularly when they come out at their next start in a Class 1. I know there are exceptions to that rule. A few of them do win, but over the course of a 12-month season, if you bet against them rather than for them, you'd be a long, long way in front. So the other factor is, of course, she'll probably be around about $1.60, $1.70, so there's no value there. But she's clearly the one to beat, number 5, Wonsie, but I can't tip it for those reasons. Number 2, Let's Go Ernie, number 3, Let's Go Ernie, is a very promising 3-year-old. He's first up here. He has won a trial at Longford. Last time in, he ran some very nice races. He finished 4th in Launceston back in October last year behind Grand Tycoon. not that far away, beaten about two lengths, and he was actually backed to beat Grand Tycoon in that race, so they've got a good opinion of him. He's trained by Mick Burles. I think he'll go very well fresh. And number nine, GG's Martini, I put in for fourth, just ahead of number one, Aventador. They're both resuming. They both run in the same trial behind Barbara's Girl. GG's Martini finished in front of the other horse, so I'll put her in for the fourth place, because she has got ability, but I could be wrong here, obviously, but I've gone for 8 one last time, ahead of 5, 3 and 9.
I've gone with number 3, Let's Go Ernie. As you say, raced against some of the very good three-year-olds when it was last in work. It's coming off a trial win at Longford on the 6th of May, beating Flying Stevie and Light the Candle, scored by a length and a half. It's only had the 10 starts for a winner, second and a third. Georgie Catania claims a couple of kilos, it gets in okay. First up today, I think Let's Go Ernie can win. To beat Wansey, who, as you say, they rarely win second time round, but it does look to be a little above average. One Aventador, and I'll throw in number 8, one more red for the fourth posse. 3, 5, 1 and 8. The autumn three-year-old handicap for $20,000 is race number 7, and we scratched 9, Lazy Democracy.
Best race of the day by a big margin. If you're talking about the number of chances, this is a really quality three-year-old race. Some good horses engaged. I've gone, some of them resuming. I've gone for a couple at the top that have had a recent run. Number 11, Vigilante. I was very impressed with the way he stretched out over the last little bit when he ran second to GG Style at his last start on a heavy track. He came to the outside. He looked pretty good the way he finished off that race. That was 1,100 metres. The 1,200 metres suits him, and he comes in on the minimum here. So number 11 each way for me. Ahead of number 4, GG's Style. This was the only horse to beat Grand Tycoon last season in the same feature race that's on today's program. He has taken a long time to win as a three-year-old, but I thought he did it in good style in Hobart last time out. He beat Vigilante and Miss Elsa after racing outside the leader. It was a good, strong run. He's also on the minimum. I don't think there's any reason why he won't go close again, even though it's a stronger field. Number 1, Inner Warrior, is probably my favourite horse. He resumes here. He's got that touch of class. He ran a place in an open weight for age race at his last run before a let up. I'm just waiting one more run for him because he has had 4 goes first up and he's yet to win. He's run second twice and he's also drawn a wide barrier. So there's just those couple of little factors put me off him a fraction today, but I certainly won't be surprised if he wins. And number 2, GG's Velvet, a quality filly. You would have called the trial that she won recently in Hobart. I thought she went to the line strongly. She never runs a bad race. She has drawn wide here, but she gets back, so that's not a huge disadvantage. I made it 11, 4, 1 and 2 in a very good race.
I'm going with number 2, GG's Velvet. She's another one from Lakita by Wordsmith, so she's a sister to GG's Golden Girl, who goes around a little earlier in the day. 16 starts, 3 wins, 11 minor placings, including 8 times runner-up. She never runs you a bad race. She's coming off a good trial win. She was very competitive in all the feature races that she contested at her last campaign. She's just a beauty, GG's Velvet. She'll be back, but she'll get to the outside and be storming down the outside with that big white blaze. She's a beautiful looker, a chestnut with a big white blaze, so you won't miss a GG's Velvet for mine to be storming down the outside. Debate number 3, Frolic, who I really do think is a nice little horse that Graham McCulloch has. It resumes. It's coming off a poor run in a trial when it finished last behind Innocent Gamble, but that was an open trial. She's been more than competitive in those Guineas types races when she was last in work. Don't be surprised to see her pull out a run first up. She's had 3 first up campaigns for a win and 2 minor placings, so at odds include her in everything. 11 Vigilante for the reasons you pointed out, Greg, and 4 GG Style. 2, 3, 11 and 4, but as you say, by far and away the best race there, the 7th on the card. We round out the day with a Class 4 over the 1,100 metres. Never easy races, the Class 4s, and this is one of those, I think.
I'm sticking with the Brunton stable here, Colin. I think they'll have another big day. They had a huge day at the last Hobart meeting. They could easily win every leg of the quaddie today, looking at them. But I do think they will finish off with a winner here with number 3, Devil's Tears. I know they have a very good opinion of this mare. She only ran 4th of 7 behind Aaron Zano last time out, but she didn't look like she was handling the heavy track at all. And this is a little bit of a drop in class on that form. Prior to that, she was only edged out in the last couple of strides by a good horse in Launceston called Just a Beach. Before that, she was a winner beating Moscow Village. Look, she just doesn't very often run a bad race. She's won 4 of 10. The secret to her will be the improved track. She's one from one on slow ground. She just didn't handle the deteriorated heavy track last time. So I think she'll break back here and give Michael Guthrie a win in the last race, number three. Ahead of number two, Prince Obama. This was a former top-class horse. He's had problems, obviously. He's had only the 30 starts. He's a seven-year-old. He has been getting back to form at his last few runs. He was a good second last time out behind Bag of Monkeys, but I think the heavy track flattered him that day. He's exceptional on heavy ground. If it's not as wet today, he might find it a little bit harder to beat the good mare Devil's Tears, but I've got him in for second. Five Alarmist doesn't win all that often. Oh, I suppose we can't condemn him. He's won 3 of 17. That's not a bad strike rate, but I do like him fresh. He flies first up. He'll be storming home here. The one worry with him is that he tends to walk out of the barrier stalls and give them a big start each time. And the interesting runner, certainly number four, Hailed, having its first run for Julie Richards, goes well first up, has shown good ability, certainly would not surprise, watch the betting. But in the last, I'm keen on number three, ahead of 2, 5 and 4.
I'm trying for one at odds here in the last. It's a bit out of left field, but it is Tuesday Night Delight, who's had a couple of runs in from a spell, has done nothing really to speak of. It was 5th of 7 behind Gypsy Air over 1,000 metres at Devonport in open company, then ran 5th of 6 behind Bundelita there on April 21. It just wins when you don't expect it to, and I think with a sting out of the ground, it certainly handles these types of conditions. One at odds. It's going to be big odds, number 7, Tuesday Night Delight, to throw in through the quaddy in the last, to beat number 3, Devil's Tears, who, as you say, will be very hard to beat. So too, number 2, Prince Obama, who's racing well, and 5, Alarma, 7, 3, 2 and 5. Have you found a best bet?
I've tried to pick the eyes out of the Brunton team. A lot of winning chances. I've gone race 5, number 2, Am I There Yet? And if I get anything, I'll put it all up. Race 8, number 3, Devil's Tears.
I'm just going to go with the Gigi's Velvet on the each way in race 7, number 2. I can't see her missing a place. Despite the fact that she's drawn the outside gate, she'll be storming home at the end of the affair. So each way, race 7, number 2. Time to talk harness racing now with the Harness Edge, and plenty of harness racing coming up. Greg, we race tonight in Launceston, tomorrow night in Hobart. Probably more interestingly, Burnie next Friday night under lights for the first time.
Yes, they had a trial session at Burnie on Friday night. I assume they went well. When we have our first race meeting next Friday, it's a community complex down there at Burnie. The lights have been put in for the benefit of all sports. It's only a little track, so that helps when you've got to light it up. Still cost a bit of money, obviously, but I think Burnie will certainly benefit next season as well, when they can use the lights in the warmer months. It'll be a bit cold this week, but look, I reckon they'll get a really good crowd there. The Burnie people really support their hometown meetings.
First race is going to be scheduled around about 6:30. Yes, you say it is one of those tracks where it is so well supported by the community. Always a good crowd there. It's one of those racetracks. It's only, what, about 650 metres in circumference, but you can just about lean out and touch them. But we don't see many of those tracks anywhere around the country anymore, so it is a little unique. So Under Lights next Friday night, Burnie, and that meeting will be on Sky 2 if you'd like to have a look and see how Burnie comes up Under Lights, that Burnie Harness meeting on Sky 2. Tonight we race in Launceston with the Golden Mile, the feature race of the evening. Bullock Consulting Youngbloods, fairly tightly contested affair.
It is pretty close at the top of the table. Unfortunately, we've only got one heat of this race tonight. We were due to have two, but the race designated for the other heat fell away and didn't get enough acceptors, so Alex Ashwood leads, and now his rivals have only got one last chance to catch him. He's got 40 points. He's drawn a horse here with a chance in El Sudoku, but has drawn barrier 7. That's not an easy assignment by any means, but it's well and truly in the betting, so he's the one to beat. He's got that 2-point lead over Matthew Howlett, who won this series last year. Matthew's on a horse at reasonably good odds in Paris Express, but has drawn well. Number 2 on the second line behind the short price favourite Chopsticks Boris, so Matthew could also get amongst the points. Dylan Ford is 3rd on the table with 34. He's got some sort of a chance on the pole marker, and I'll let you pronounce that horse's name. But the horse I think will win the race is number 2, Chopsticks Boris. Justin Howlett to drive. Unfortunately, Justin's too far down the table to win, but I reckon he might get at least a consolation victory here in this heat on Chopsticks Boris.
All right. Alex Ashwood on 40, Matthew Howlett 38, Dylan Ford 34, going into that final heat of the Youngbloods. Golden Mile is race number 5. No Motu Crusaders to be seen tonight.
No, he's clearly the best-performed open-class horse in Tassie this season, so it's a bit disappointing he's not in this race, but it's still a good little field. Numbers are a bit light on tonight all the way through, but that's not unexpected when we've had a couple of meetings earlier in the week or last Sunday and Monday. We've got a big 10-race program in Hobart tomorrow night, but there's a bit of quality to this. The Golden Mile is being sponsored by Maxfield Drilling. That's Mick Maxfield, who owns Call the Marshall, and I think he might just about win his own race here. Number four, Rowan Hillier to drive in the absence of Gareth Rattray, who's having a little break due to suspension. Probably might not be able to lead here, Call the Marshall. If he does lead, I think he's a better bet, but even sitting outside the leader, I think he can go close here. I put him on top of later on, a very good mare trained by Zeke Slater. She's a stablemate of Motu Crusader. Zeke's relying on her to win this race for him tonight. Bigger and Better Max, forget his unplaced run last time out. He was given no peace in front. Prior to that, he was a very good third off a back mark in the Easter Cup. He'll be hard to beat tonight, Bigger and Better Max. And Tassanzo, an up-and-coming mare. She hasn't beaten anything of this quality yet, but she's flying, and certainly wouldn't surprise if she was close up at the finish as well. But I put Call the Marshall on top, number four.
All right. What about race number six on the card? This is the third leg of the quaddie in Launceston tonight.
There's a claimer. I think the best graded horse in the race is number seven, Spot Nine. It's not that long ago he was winning the Hobart Cup, an open class standing start race. This is a mobile, but I think he's extremely well graded, despite a whitish draw. Ricky Duggan to drive, again in the absence of Gareth Rattray. I think he's the one to beat ahead of Melpike Maestro, excuse me, who got up at $37 on the normal tote last time when he won in Hobart. I notice the fixed odds with Tatch, he could have got about $71 about Melpike Maestro, which is huge odds for a harness horse. Anyway, he won well, and there's no reason to think he won't go on with the job here. He beat Class Above Lombo and Talk About Dexter, two pretty good horses. Cats and Dogs, number one, is suited by the draw. Would be a better chance if it was a stand, because if it was, he'd be a certain leader. He might still hold them out, and if he does, he's got a winning hope. And number eight, Sky Tower, has won a lot of races over his career. Probably not quite as good as he was, but this is only a claimer, so he should be competitive. I went 7, 6, 1 and 8.
Final leg of the quaddie race, number 7. Where are we going here?
Second last leg of the quaddie.
Yeah, last leg of the quaddie, and only a small field, and we're going to have a short price runner here.
Yeah, definitely. Number 4, Class Above Lombo, comes out. I've been told that he's been sold, so that's interesting. His form was good. The winner now does appear to be number 5, Mellow Lynn. As you said, will be very cramped odds. Handy four-year, or not a handy four-year, he's a good four-year-old. He raced well against the good horses. He was just behind Devendra and Pachacuti in the Raiders Stakes final. Gets his chance here ahead of another pretty useful four-year-old in Diva's Delight. He also ran in the Raiders Stakes final. He pulled too hard in that race, ruined his chances. If he settles a bit better here, he could be a danger. Number 2, Deliver the Goods, is racing well for Tim Main. And number 3, Stirlish, didn't have much luck at Devonport during the week when unplaced. I think he can improve here. And Glenwood Jasper has a chance also, so there's only 5 in it, but they've all got some hope of running a place. But does look like number 5, the winner.
Race 8 rounds out the quaddie. Again, a small field, but a couple of good types. It's a good race.
Yeah, good little race. A good horse here in number 6, Laconic Jermaine. Resumed from a spell at Devonport. Had the advantage on that small track of drawing the pole, but he was a strong winner. Lindsay Tatnall, the trainer, said after the race that he's had a lot of problems with this horse since he ran third in the... he didn't run third. He won the Tassie Guineas back in December 2012, and he beat two top liners in Devendra and Pachacuti. But Lindsay's had some problems with him since. He said he got a bad virus, got into his lungs, and 16 months later, he's only just got him right. But he does think he's going to make a nice horse, and I've got to agree, he's a lovely type, number 6. 2, Estevao, and 5, Ramble Stiltskin, both won last time out after soft leads. They're in the mix as well. And Island Disco, number 3 and number 4, I'm shouting probably to make up the first 4, but I went for 6 in the last, ahead of 2, 5 and 4.
Have you got a best bet on the card in Lonnie?
Well, my best bet is Chopsticks Boris, but probably have to watch the betting. If it's too short, I'll just keep my money in my pocket. But race 4, number 2, does look the winner.
All right, and we've got, as we say, a big night of harness racing in Hobart tomorrow night. The Big Park Stud Sweepstakes kicks off with the final to be raced on Sunday, May 25.
Yeah, they're good races, 2 for the Colts and Geldings, 2 for the Fillies. I thought the Fillies races were pretty tough, but In the Colts and Geldings division, the standout is Jerry's Jet, who's drawn the pole in Heat 1. He's a very smart horse, unbeaten. And I thought the value might be in Heat 2, a horse called Butcher's Jet. I like the way he won last start, but he has to overcome Barrier 7, which is always difficult. But, yeah, that's a good series, the Big Park Stud Sweepstakes.
All right. If you'd like to have a look at the form for the meeting in Launceston Harness tonight or for the meeting tomorrow night in Hobart, go to www.tazracing.com.au, Punter's Corner, and you can check out Jamie Cockshutt's form analysis of all those races in Launceston and for Hobart tonight. That brings us to an end. Greg, let's hope we've found a winner somewhere along the program, and we look forward to today's meeting in Hobart in particular with some very good racing on the card. We'll catch you again next Sunday morning.
Thanks, Colin. Have a good day.
Greg Mansfield there joining us as he does each and every week, and we look forward to your company again next Sunday morning for Turf Talk and Harness Edge right here on Radio TAB at the same time. Bye for now.
In Australia tonight, there are over 105,000 homeless, men, women and children. By joining the Mission Australia Winter Sleepout, you can raise money for people in need. Host a sleepout and make it your own by asking your friends and family to join in or sponsor you. Visit wintersleepout.com.au to register today. Because homelessness is in your own backyard.
Scratchies with thanks for Hawkins Media. Radio TAB advertising is their frequency. Contact Steve at hawkinsmedia.com.au.